This is the new series. For 4 weeks, we're following what the Australian Baptists have put out, More Like Jesus. Today is the first one, which is growing as authentic followers of Jesus. Next week, the works of Jesus, Dion, people like Jesus. Ben is taking that and then partnering together in God's mission, Shamila. Some of the feedback from the review, the church review, was that could we encourage some people with preaching ability or a desire to preach, can we encourage them? So that's what's going to happen over the next few weeks. This week we've just got a small one side. I haven't put any questions up on the screen or anything else on the screen. You've just got an overview, some questions for those who meet in small groups, and a prayer that you might like to use this week. So that's just some thoughts. So for those of you who like to take notes, well, you'll just have to quickly grab a pencil and a pad and take some notes. Right, we've all heard this story many times, I think. And some of you thought that we might have had Fishers of Men as the chorus for the month. How many of you know Fishers of Men? I will make you Fishers of Men. Yes, yes. We've got enough to make up a little choir of the Fishers of Men people. Right, well, Jesus says, the time has been fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The kingdom of God, Jesus has come. The kingdom of God today, us, reflecting the kingdom of God, and then the kingdom of God will come in the future. Well, what does the kingdom of God do? Well, it confronts and challenges the values of society, because it's a kingdom, not a rule in the sense of king or queen physical, but the rule of God in people's lives. The kingdom of God does not mean, Paul said in Romans, food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is in the midst of you, Luke said. It's here. It's around you. The kingdom of God is fulfilled. Yes, the kingdom of God into which we have entered. Jesus has come. As I said, it confronts the values of the world. Suddenly, the outcasts are brought in. Suddenly, the enemies are now loved and cared for. The first are now put to the end of the line. They're last. The kingdom of God does incredible things. And the kingdom of God restores the beauty of the values of God. How amazing. How amazing. Jesus says, follow me, as he gets and talks to those disciples. Follow me. How amazing. That call. Friends, the question is, why, or one of the questions, why would he call people when they were already fishing? Well, I think that what God says to us is, some of you may need to leave what you're doing to follow. And we know missios, people who have gone into missionary service and done things and gone who knows where. But to others of us, he says, where you are working is really your mission field. I am very sad when people leave, when people live for the weekend, because they think, oh, church and Sunday school teaching is the most important thing. No, the most important thing is to live where God has put you and to live as God's people. I want to say that he called those fishermen because they knew how to fish. But he said, follow and I will teach you They didn't know everything. They didn't know. I'm going to teach you, he said, to be fishers of men. How amazing. Now, he didn't take them, I don't think, and said, righto, now, I'm going to plonk you with the tax collectors because you're fishermen and you'll understand tax collectors. How do we understand tax collectors? No, we're going to work with ordinary people. If you're a school teacher or you have anything to do with kids, isn't that the pond that you should be fishing in? Isn't that your lake for fishing? So why not fish there? If you're a mum, the best job in the world, let me say, if you're a mum working from home, let me see if you fit the category of this person. What did she do? Well, you can't see it from there, but I'll tell you what she did. Had a baby, became a mum, and thought, oh, what can I do for God? Well, there were eight of us having babies about the same time. Why don't we meet for coffee each week? And I'll make that my little pond in which to fish for Jesus. We're mums together. Good. We've got a common theme and I'll use it for God. Oh, there's nothing too clever in that, is there? Some of you meet here every month for the oldies group, for the seniors, local seniors group. Isn't that a wonderful big fishing pond? Some of you are involved in other things. All I'm saying, friends, let's not get guilty and, oh, I don't do any. If God has put you somewhere, take out your fishing rod and fish. Take out your bait and spread it. Spread it around because that's why you're there. Now, you're saying, Colin, you're not telling us anything new. Well, maybe I am. Because I think as soon as prayer, Bible reading and mission are talked about from the pulpit, people go into a panic. I'm not doing enough. Oh, I'm not. No. You see, that is big, yeah. Yeah. But now, if I sent you out, if I said to you, Lee, just take this and sit out in our car park and catch some squid, you would say, I knew, he's as mad as can be. Well, why wouldn't you sit there? You see, just because we've got that implement or that net, we need to use it in the appropriate place. You see, I wouldn't go down on the pier and try and catch a barramundi with this because it's the wrong thing for catching a barramundi. And I think what Jesus said was, and many have started with something like this. A hook with some fishing line and a sinker and thrown that off the pier or off the beach with kids. I think that's what Jesus said. You're fishermen, you've got certain skills. We're Christians, we've got certain understanding. But come, he says, and follow me. Commit, follow, and I will teach. We don't all know. In fact, I don't think any of us know everything that we need to know in bringing people to know Jesus. So we need to learn. We need to learn. We need to understand. I would think that those fishermen realised, we are great for catching fish, but actually it's another whole dimension to catch people. And we realise that. We realise that, that it's another whole dimension to catch people. So I want to ask, I ask of myself and ask of each of us today, what is the pond or the lake in which you fish? Where are you seeking to fish or to catch? Which sounds really quite crude, but where are you spreading your burley, which is that stuff that attracts fish, your burley, or where is your sphere of influence? Now, if, in fact, you have no interest in people becoming Christians, well, you're not going to be interested in fishing. And I wonder sometimes if we have lost that urgency, that desperation, that awareness that people need to become Christians. They need to commit their lives to Jesus. They need to understand about Jesus. I wonder if sometimes we haven't just been, oh, well, so long as they leave a good life and so long as they fit in with society, that's okay. No, friends, we have the message of the living God. We've got this message to share, and it's important that people come to know Jesus. So do I want people to meet Jesus? Do I want the people I work with, if that's my pond, do I want those people to become Christians? Now, if I don't, well, then, of course, I'm not interested in fishing. People can just do what they want. Sit back and relax, and too bad. But if we want people to become Christians, if we see that God wants them to be part of his family and his kingdom, then we'll do something. The second thing is, we need to go where the fish are. It's no good sitting in the car park with that and hoping that a fish somehow from down in the sea will jump up into the net. That's ridiculous. We need to go where fish are. And again, I say, where we're working, where we're doing exercises, where we've got family, that's where the fish are. People who don't know Jesus. Friends, it's not up to us to feel guilty, but we need to go where the fish are. And that's the question that we always need to ask. Why has God put me here? Why am I part of this group? Why have I got this family? Well, why we've got the family and why we're part of a certain group is to be the fisherman or the fisherwoman and to help those people understand about Jesus. What about the bait? Now, if we're going fishing on a hook, we will put certain bait if we want to catch certain fish. It would be no good to put a worm in here. I just sink straight through. But to put a worm on here, how many of you have actually had to thread worms on hooks in your life? Yes, a number of you. Right, so a worm for a hook, but not a worm in a net. So what is the correct bait? Well, I'll tell you what the correct bait is. You or me. We're the bait. You see, we're what's attractive to people. And I want to ask, are you attractive bait? Are you, as it were, a lure? Now, I don't mean that in a seductive way. I just mean, are people attracted to you in a way that says, I want what they've got? I want to be a follower like that. I don't want to be like them, so whatever they talk about, I don't want to be part of. And as I've said, there are certain baits for barramundi and there are certain baits for squid. If you're in an office or in a family, God gives to each one of us the discernment to understand people. You see, we're not going to be the same attractive person to every person in the office. And that's why I think if we're in an office, we need to listen carefully and watch and discern what is appropriate for this person, what is appropriate for this person. And minister or use the bait for that person. What is attractive to that person? What is going to encourage that person? What's going to help that person? So we're talking about Alpha, getting people interested in Jesus. Well, we need to get people interested in Jesus wherever we are. And we need to be sensitive. And that's where I say, who is the bait? Well, the bait is you or me, linked with the Holy Spirit, who gives us insight into how to deal with individual people. To go back to the fishing thing, a worm's not appropriate when it should be a hunk of old meat. What's attractive to the squid is not attractive to the barramundi. What's attractive to a certain person in the office is not attractive to someone else. What meets the needs of someone in your family doesn't meet the needs of someone else. Now, you're saying, oh, Colin, we know all of this. Yeah. How many years have you and I sat through May Missions Month? Many years. And you might be saying, Colin, we know all of it. But what have we done with it? What have we done with that? All those missionary messages that we've heard. Have we taken them to heart and seen the need of people and then moved out to people in a way that is often self-sacrificing? I don't think it was easy for those blokes necessarily. They must have had some background, I think, in who Jesus was. Come with me and we'll go fishing for people. What? And then poor old Zebedee's left on the boat without some of his kids to help with the family business. That was costly. It was probably costly for them as well. And yet, the call of God took them. A few weeks ago, and again, I know you can't all see it, but a few weeks ago in the Weekend magazine, there was a wonderful story of this man who's an Anglican minister and his wife. Was an incredible story. She was a girl brought up in Walkerville, here in South Australia. Went to the Anglican church every Sunday, went to an Anglican school, and was in love with a soldier. Went to Alice Springs to catch up with the soldier and fell in love with the minister. And, and then that's an incredible story of cost and sacrifice to minister to Indigenous kids. They set up a boarding school and just incredible. And there is a list of all of the, prominent Aboriginal folk who went through their school and just what had happened. But of course, they were accused of pinching kids. They were accused of all sorts of things. But they say, for the sake of Jesus, the cost was worth it. And through ill health, they had to leave Alice, and they set up a boarding school and a school down at Semaphore. And some of you might have known that. An amazing story, And we stood up for these people, that is the Aboriginal people, when the rest of Australia neither cared nor did anything. Now, I know there's a whole lot of Aboriginal stuff behind that, but what I'm saying is, friends, when Jesus says, come, follow, and I will teach. There is a lovely sequence. Come, first of all, are you committed to me? Follow, are you following? And then I will teach you, because there are lots of things to learn. But what I'm going to teach you is how to bring others into the kingdom of God, because you are fishing for me to bring people to know Jesus. Friends, authentic Christians, that's the message today, and the challenge for us is authentic. Are we concerned, or don't we care at all about people? Missions Month is known as Missions Month because the focus is the mission of God. And this was the mission of Jesus, to teach and to bring people to become fishermen and women for him. We know what that means. We know we're not talking about down on the pier like Steve-O catching squid. We know it means bringing people to Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we realise that this whole message is the message of bringing people to Jesus, following you, and then casting our line or our net where the people are. So, stir us up, shake us up, give us a push, a shove, something, in order that we take seriously bringing people to Jesus. We ask that this might be, at the start of the month, a stimulus for what lies ahead. We would love to see this church full with people who we have been able to encourage to come to know Jesus. Lord, we've just said the creed, Lord God Almighty. So we know that you are able to do almighty things. And we trust you to move in our circles, in our families, to stir up people to come to know Jesus. But stir us up and give us a love to be able to bring people into the saving knowledge of the living God. We ask in his name. Amen.